Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Dave Jagler, one of the two voices of the Nationals here on your flagship home for Nats baseball, joins us at 1 o'clock to preview Game 2 Division Series with the Dodgers in L.A. tonight. Steven Strasburg at Clayton Kershaw. We'll also cover the Nats in moments on the Beltway Blitz. Got to get to the Caps, who have game number two tonight, looking to stay unbeaten, debuting a hot new goaltender. But let's start on the gridiron. What better way to get the Blitz going than with J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington? J.P., everyone seems to think it's Colt McCoy time. I'll ask you what I asked Craig earlier. Is Haskins the number two or the number three this weekend if everybody's able to play?
That is arguably the more interesting question than who's going to start, because Case Keenum went through practice yesterday, so I don't think you can use that if he's injured. Would you make the guy that started the first four games of the year for you inactive? Because the way the roster's constructed, they're going to need one of these QBs to inactive. So I don't know, Grant, and that's something we'll try to dig into today. It hasn't been the most open book Jay Gruden this week, and it's kind of understandable, but it's going to be really interesting. But keep in mind, Colt's still dealing with an injury, so there's a decent chance that the backup would play this week.
Yeah, so going to that, how is Colt? I mean, we're still dealing with the after effects. He still can't seem to get through a walkthrough at this point, but we're just going to trot him out there. He's fine, I guess?
I guess, Danny. I don't know. I mean, that's why Gruden didn't name anybody all week, because he wanted to see Colt practice yesterday, get through everything, and then wake up this morning feeling good and ready to go. If assuming that's the case and he's out there running practice here in a couple minutes, then I think it's going to be his team. But this is still a leg injury from last December that is lingering this long. It's really remarkable that something would take this long. We know there's been multiple surgeries, multiple setbacks, and Colt has said he just has to be confident in his leg. It's just crazy that we're hearing that this far after the injury.
Lost Boys actor Jason Patrick Finley. All right, give me the rest of the injury updates. It sounds like maybe Terry McLaurin, cousin Chase Roullier, Brandon Scherff. What do we know?
I think you're going to see Terry McLaurin. I don't think you're going to see Scherff because he hasn't practiced all week. Josh Norman's an interesting one. He's been limited. Jay Gruden said yesterday that he wasn't at all concerned about it. Vernon Davis, Jordan Reed, certainly I don't expect to see play. Maybe Vernon will be out there today, but I'd be pretty surprised. They are they're thin all over, but Roullier has practice. You'd think he'd be back out there, which would mean Wes Martin at right guard if Scherff can't go.
JP, thank you, and enjoy Sunday with New England in town.
Thank you, boys. Go Nats. Let's have some good news.
Yeah, no
see
kidding.
Buddy.
Let's talk a little baseball. Sam Fortier of the Washington Post. Sam, last night, no offense. We could talk about Dave Martinez's decisions, Patrick Corbin's first inning, the bullpen struggling, but when you don't score and you have two hits, you can't win. What went wrong?
I think this is the same story we've seen in every other NLDS for the Nationals. I think their batting average in those games is, you know, I believe on 150, and you know, they have never scored more than three or four runs, and I think, you know, Trey Turner said last night they're just pressing in these first games, and obviously when you have a best of five and you're giving away the first game every time, you know, that's not a recipe for success, as we've seen.
Sam, what did we make of Corbin and that outing? Really rough first inning. You heard David Martinez postgame just sort of – basically the translation was, yeah, we were really tight. And you could see how tight Corbin was initially before he settled in. What do we make of his start?
Yeah, I think that first inning was nerves, obviously four walks. I mean, for him to get through six innings to only allow two runs, I think that you could consider that a modest success. I think the biggest thing was that he got them through six innings because, as you saw from the Nationals' middle relief last night, the starters are going to need to go six or seven innings every night, I think, to give the ball to the Nationals' trustworthy relievers and to give them the best chance to win. I don't think you're going to be able to get through a game if your starter leaves after five.
What are you expecting from Strasburg? Will he be able to go 100-plus pitches, or are they going to have him on a restriction?
Yeah, that's a great question. We don't know sort of what his pitch, how he's feeling after that relief appearance the other day. I mean, what we're expecting is the Dodgers that he dominates are the left-handers. So, you know, in terms of the Dodgers platoon, in terms of their, you know, always matching up lefties and righties, he might have a little bit more success against the Dodgers than you might expect. But I think also, you know, he's probably the best pitcher in this series as we wrote the other day. And I think, you know, as many innings as he can get, your chances of winning goes up. So the Nationals will really need him to be at his best.
Sam, real quick, why didn't Sean Doolittle pitch last night?
That's a great question. I think, you know, some people would say he needed to pitch in that seventh inning against those lefties. You saw Fernando Rodney. I mean, he struck Cody Bellinger out, but Max Muncy gets him to get to 4-0. I think Dave Martinez just likes him in the eighth inning or later. I think he's kind of set in that role. But obviously, you know, last night's loss was a sour start. You know, tonight's loss would be a serious blow. I think if the same situation comes up tonight, he's probably going to need to use Doolittle in that spot.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
It's time for some hockey on the Blitz. J.J. Reagan, NBCSportsWashington.com and the My Teams app. J.J., the Caps are going to debut Ilya Samsonov this evening. The Russian goaltender had a strong preseason. Surprised a lot of people. Crowbarring his way onto the roster over Phoenix Copley. What should we expect?
That's a good question. We don't really know what to expect. I thought this was a guy who could use another year of seasoning in Hershey, but he was very impressive in the preseason, as you mentioned. He's a guy who has a big presence in net. He's big. He's at 6'3". He's a little bit different from Braden Holtby. He comes more from the Dominic Hajek school of goaltending, in which it's more frantic, more chaotic, but he always seems to know what he's doing. He overcommits a little bit, so expect some rookie mistakes there, but this is a guy who could be the future starter in net, so there's a lot of excitement around him.
John Jacob, Jingleheimer, Schmidt, Reagan. give me the guy that's the new guy here that's impressed you the most. A bunch of new Capitals kind of getting folded in here.
Yeah, that's a good question. The guy who impressed me the most in the preseason was definitely Richard Ponick. I thought he looked great on the penalty kill. I thought he looked great offensively, and he's going to have a big role for the team this year. He was a little bit quiet in that first game. So we'll go with Garnet Hathaway. He's a guy who's going to take a lot of the physical pressure off of Tom Wilson, who needs to focus on being a top-line player more so than being that guy who always drops the gloves when the team needs it. Hathaway was in the faces of the Blues all night long. He almost got into a few scraps. There were a few different Blues who were chirping at him. So he's doing exactly what he is supposed to do. Todd Rinn said in the preseason that he wants the Caps to be harder to play against. Garnet Hathaway is going to go a long way towards making that happen.
Yeah, I like his game a lot. How about the Isles? They surprised everyone last year. What about their offseason? Are they expected to be good? And give us a quick lay of the land of the Metro.
Well, the Islanders, they did surprise a lot of people, but they also had a Vezina-caliber goalie with them who they let walk in the offseason, surprisingly. Now, they may be relying on Mitch Korn, who, as Capitals fans know, is an absolute wizard when it comes to goalies. But I think you're asking a lot for Semyon Varlamov to step in and play at a Vezina-caliber level like they got last season. Everyone in the Metro got better except for the Islanders and the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I think the Islanders take a step back this year. But you know what? They surprised everybody last year, so it wouldn't be a surprise if they exceeded expectations again. But for the Metro overall, the Caps are still from top to bottom the best team in the division. So it should be a fifth straight division title for them.
Jared Jeffries Reagan, thanks for the time, buddy. I like talking puck with you, my friend. Appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, guys.
That's J.J. Reagan, and that is your Beltway Blitz. Three teams, one segment. I liked it. The Caps are back at it. Nats
nice,
are in the playoffs.
Right? Rounds it out a little bit.
Get to go three deep on the Blitz, which is cool. What would you do different in Game 2 than the Nats did in Game 1? What adjustments are you making? What do you hope Davey Martinez does differently? Let's open up the phones for Nats fans right now at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Quick note before we get back into the regularly scheduled show. Sports Illustrated yesterday informed its newsroom in some meetings that about half of the staff was being laid off. And I saw a bunch of people that we have on the show regularly, guests, and by way of radio, I guess, friends of our show,
mm-hmm.
who are out of gigs. Many of them are ultra-talented. Andy Benoit, as an example, to me, is one of the smartest guys covering football in the country. A lot of really, really good journalists and reporters and media personalities are out of gigs. I got no idea what went on or the business side of this. I'm not speaking to that. I just, best of luck to all of them, because it seems to be happening more and more where we see some of these companies that have been heavyweights since I was a kid,
yeah.
gutting their
institutions.
Staffs. And it just stinks to see.
So the move is, you know, it's one of those some fund that comes in and does this, and they pay a bunch of money, and they're going to figure out a way to maximize value. I mean, it's like an episode of The Newsroom. It's like season two. But you're basically looking at them moving towards the aggregation business like everybody else does. Well, eventually, what are you going to be aggregating is my question. You run out of the actual original source material. You run out of the places to point to. And if everything is nothing but fan-sided or fan 24/7 or whatever the hell, what can you point to anymore? You're going to have fewer and fewer institutions like Sports Illustrated. I know that model of the subscription to the magazine, it's dated, and there's a romanticism to that.
Yeah, but they had done different things.
But they had, yeah.
Like, I hadn't read SI as a magazine in 5 years, maybe more. I could tell you a lot of their writers because it's all digital now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is video, and we have many of their guests on, as I said, and they're on all the platforms. But regardless, best of luck and happy trails and whatever comes next. I think a lot of those folks are going to be free agents for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, should land on their feet, hopefully.
What do you do different in Game 2 than you did in Game 1 if you're the Nationals? What changes would you make? That's the question. I want your answers. Let's have a good baseball convo here on G&D. 800-636-1067 is the number. We are giving you Division Series coverage today presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. Couple of things. Number one, let's talk bullpen usage for a second.
All right.
Davey Martinez. Not the reason they lost yesterday, but still didn't really get it, and I don't know what he was doing in the seventh inning, frankly. For Tanner Rainey to pitch at the beginning of the inning, I didn't love that. I at least understand it.
You could try to get away with it, maybe? Sneak it in there?
What I can't have, and what makes no sense to me, was when three out of the four batters faced by Fernando Rodney were left-handed. To me, you're at the point of the order now that is the perfect Sean Doolittle situation. If that inning started with Rodney's first batter, which it hadn't, Rainey had already faced a couple. But if it had, that should have been Doolittle to begin the inning. When you go get Rodney, that's when you go get Doolittle. He faces the lefties in the high-leverage spots in this bullpen, period. Now, maybe the concern is, well, if he faces him here and we come back and we're up 3-2 and we need to face him in the ninth, he's not around, or in the tenth, he's not around. I don't care about that right now. You're down two runs. You have to manage to stay down two runs. You can't manage for, what if we come back and score three? Because I promise you, if you pitch Rainey and Rodney, you're going to need more than three.
You'll need more than three.
And that is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney made Martinez right, for the record. Davey won, everybody else zero, when he somehow, in a world that I never knew existed, used that beautiful Bugs Bunny changeup on lefties and got Cody Bellinger to swing and miss. That matchup will go poorly way more often than it goes right. But in that case, Davey Martinez was correct. Now a right-hander. He should get out of that inning right then and there. And that's where really the inning, the game was busted open and was, quote-unquote, lost from a bullpen perspective. You lost because of your lineup and for no other reason, obviously. But he's got to go get Chris Taylor right on right. Taylor walks to extend that inning. You've got to now have Doolittle ready for Muncy.
Again, you didn't want to use Doolittle, but
you have to. Or, by the way, if you're not going to use Doolittle, if you refuse to use Doolittle there, then you got to go get Suero, who's supposedly your righty that gets lefties. Fernando Rodney does not get left-handers out. He hasn't all year. They hit almost 300 off of him since he came to Washington. His OPS against lefties is awful. If I said, hey, who do I want against lefties? I understand anecdotally what Davey says. I like his changeup against left-handers. I got too many numbers that say what you're saying doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this isn't 36-year-old Fernando Rodney, which was 7 years ago almost.
It's funny, by the way, because literally it was almost 7 years ago.
Yeah, I thought that was wrong. I said it at the time, but listen, you already touched on it. They lost the game not because of that. It was already lost.
So long story short, I'll be more succinct here and being too long-winded. Here's the change in the bullpen. If your name is not Anibal Sanchez, Sean Doolittle, or Daniel Hudson, you're probably not pitching for me tonight. I am shortening this pen. Tonight, you manage like it's a wild card game again.
Because you have an off day.
You have an off day tomorrow. So those two guys should combine for 9 outs. Do I have full trust? We keep talking about Doolittle, by the way, and Hudson, like they're going to be in and everything's okay. Those guys are not slam dunks either, but they are way closer to it than these other guys.
Yeah, they're regular shaky. Those other guys are unacceptable.
So that's my first change. You can't change anything about your offense. They're either going to hit or they're not. I'm not changing a whole bunch of stuff offensively. I just hope that guys actually don't swing at pitches out of the zone. I could change an approach. The one thing I will change from a in-game decision-making standpoint, the bullpen is getting shorter, and the number of guys I'm able to use is way smaller than it was yesterday.
Here's my list. Steven Strasburg, Sean Doolittle, Anibal Sanchez, Daniel Hudson, and for maybe a batter or an emergency, Max Scherzer. I know he's going to start Sunday. It's just kind of his throw day. He could throw to a batter for me. Maybe he's got to come in and get Justin Turner out.
We have the same list. I'm not throwing Scherzer because I don't think you're not bringing him in for a batter.
I wouldn't want to, but in an emergency, I'm saying. I got nobody else left, and who knows how the game goes, but I would do that.
But if you're asking him to do something he's done, I think once, and he went really poorly against the Cubs, and you're getting him up, and he's getting loose, and that's 20-minute process for a starter, it ain't happening for one batter. Like, if you're using him, it's probably an inning or something like that.
Then so be it. I mean, are you doing that? An emergency, yeah, because I got to win the night, and okay, I'll figure the rest out later. It's not my first choice, second choice, third choice, 10th choice, but if I have to, he's the acceptable list. Everybody else, spectate, clap hard. That's your job.
What are you changing?
So I'm looking at some matchups here, and I got a little bit of data. Ryan Zimmerman actually hits Clayton Kershaw better than almost anybody on this planet. Most people don't hit Clayton Kershaw. Nobody squares him up. Nobody kills him.
He might start tonight.
I'm starting Zimmerman at first. Despite the fact that he brought a frying pan out to the field last night and looked less mobile than me at this point, I'm starting Howie Kendrick at second. With all the shifts and all the different things, I think you don't have to worry about range as much anymore for my second baseman. He'll probably get switched out, but I'll have Howie Kendrick, his at-bats, at second base. Dozier's over. Cabrera's got very little success against Kershaw, like most people.
Cabrera looked like his dribble Cabrera last night.
Yeah.
And I hate the small sample size analysis. I'm not throwing away a month of what he did here. Really 5 weeks of good baseball for one night. But at some point, the clock's going to strike midnight. And that's what it looks like last night.
And so I'll have Cabrera in reserve. Same way I'll have Dozier in reserve to play some matchups.
And you got a switch hitter off your bench with Cabrera now, who can go get a righty or a lefty.
So those are my changes. The debate then becomes, what do you do with Adam Eaton, who's got very little success and hasn't been comfortable against Clayton Kershaw?
Don't take him out of the
lineup.
He's a mainstay.
Yeah, I'm not going to take him out of the
lineup. What are you going to do, play Michael Taylor?
No. But that's my point. There's no great alternative.
Yeah.
The guy that's got the most at-bats and success that could play is Gerardo Parra.
How many at-bats has Eaton have?
I think it's just a handful.
Yeah, so what are we doing here? I mean, you got to be real careful about making
one
a bunch
nine.
Of changes to your lineups based on two or three games worth of baseball in their careers. You've done something for basically 4 months that says you're the best team in the sport. And for one night now, you're going to make a bunch, and I don't mean you, but people like to do this. Let's make a bunch of changes and get all the guys in there that are 3 for 7 instead of 2 for 11. No, thank you.
Sure.
Go down with the guys that got you here. Now, the Zim, because it's righty-lefty anyway, Kendrick at second, and Asdrubal Cabrera, who's switch hitter, out of the lineup, no problem with that whatsoever. Ryan Zimmerman, track record speaks for itself, and you're not, if you said Zim in, Howie out, I would argue with that a little bit. Because you need Howie's bat to me in the lineup.
Yeah, I would let Howie hit, for
but
sure.
I got no issue. There's never going to be an argument for me to sit Asdrubal Cabrera, who was acquired off the scrap heap because a team DFA'd him midway through the season.
Especially hitting right-handed.
Right, well, exactly. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get to your calls next. I want to know, and Danny wants to know, what changes you're making for Game 2 against the Dodgers. Your calls, and then at 12:45... we will give you our top 5 NFL games of the weekend coming up as Week 5 is underway after last night. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With the Dodgers in the National League Division Series. First pitch tonight, 9:37 D.C. time. Hopefully, they'll split these two games, come back to D.C., and then they've got home field advantage in the final three and a series all even. Instead of being heavy underdogs, which they were coming in and certainly are after getting shut out 6-0 last night, they'll be in the driver's seat. Couple of adjustments that we've already said. Offensively, stop swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. Get back to doing what you did all year long, grinding at bats, taking your walks, making pitchers come to you, throw strikes over the plate. They didn't do that last night. That'll help with the two hits and the no runs. I think you got to stop using the middle relievers that we all know can't do the job.
The underbelly cannot go in a must-win game.
We have seen a year of watching, and I like Tanner Rainey's stuff. Who knows what he is a year or two from now? He's got a chance to be pretty good. Fernando Roddy's going to come through about half the time for you. Wander Suero, same thing. They shouldn't be pitching tonight. They can't pitch in these games. We knew that coming in. It was a 2-run game last night. I'm not really sure why they did, but there is something to be said, too, for the personnel not being all that good. There's only so many guys Davey Martinez can go to, so you can pin it on him some. You got to pin a little bit of it on the fact that they only have 2 relievers they can trust anyway.
Right.
And in a 5-game series and in a 7-game series, if they were to get out of this somehow, at some point you're going to have to use those guys.
I mean, you see what the Dodgers did. They've got a hierarchy, right? They've got plenty of relievers that are good. Pedro Baez is really good, and they got other guys that are really good. Ross Stripling's been good for them.
Urias Kenta Maeda is nasty.
But Kenta Maeda, a starter, setup man. That's your version of that, Dana Ball Sanchez. You have a list of acceptable pitchers and a list of unacceptable. You dipped into unacceptable in a close game where you were a bloop and a blast away. That I can't have that. I cannot go down that way.
Well, and in fairness, too, Kenta Maeda has pitched out of the bullpen now 18 times in 21 appearances in his career in the playoffs. So it wasn't like Dave Roberts.
That's true.
Reinvented the wheel and like went off the grid. Maeda is a part-time reliever all season long. So I don't know if the comp is perfect, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he started his majority of the time this year as a starter, 26
right.
times.
But every year, this is what he does at this time.
Which
but
is totally fair.
The point is, they've got this weapon. You got to find one of your own. Steven's in Silver Spring. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen. I'm good. Happy Friday.
Hey, Cheese.
Oh, wow. This is hey, Cheese. We went very formal by calling you Steven in Silver Spring.
Hello, Steven.
Hello. Well, you guys already said everything, but I just really wanted to echo it. I think Buehler is really good. I think he wins Cy Young in the next 2 years. But last night, I mean, those upstairs fastballs are a foot out of the strike zone. Grant, like you always say, we need robot umpires yesterday. So part of that I kind of put on them. Like these guys, there's some of these inside curveballs like are balls, but they're getting called strikes. So then it's like they have to swing when it comes upstairs. That really bothers me. I need Juan Soto to calm down. When Kalaric came in last night, he looked like me when I'm in the batting cages at Rocky Gorge swinging at 98-mile-per-hour fastballs.
Hey, get ready to see him. Get ready for Kalaric versus Soto a couple more times in this series. Because Juan Soto, it might have even been a three-pitch at bat. I mean, he never picked up the baseball.
And just fastballs, by the way. He didn't even mix the spinner in there.
And the other thing, it's just have fun. Like Davey said, these guys just have fun, take a deep breath. Like, you're in L.A., and they woke up in L.A. 2 days in a row, so the time zones are good.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about the travel, the time zone, the late-night workout, and waking up and going and playing ball. Steve, Silver Spring, what's good?
Hello, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
All right, so, the main change I would make would be on the offense. I think you got to take a guy out who's ice cold right now is Victor Robles. He doesn't seem to be hitting the ball at all. Sometimes these guys don't just snap out of the cold streaks. I would put in Parra for him. Parra was hot. I know he had one bat last night. And we need Anthony Rendon, obviously, to get going. He's hit a cold streak at the worst possible time, but there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, Rendon, end of the year, did nothing in the last few games, and it's kind of carried over now. You have to get something out of him. I will completely disagree with taking Robles out of the lineup for the record. He's excellent defensively. If he gets something offensively, cool. If he gets on via the walk or the hit by pitch, which happens for him a lot, he can steal. And all the automatically in these games, he becomes a nuisance to the pitcher. Gerardo Parra had two hits in about 2 months before the last two series of the season. So no thank you on that. Let's go to Walter in Alexandria. Hey, Walter.
Yeah, how you doing today, sir?
What's up, buddy?
You know, in this situation, in this game with the Dodgers, you got to play situational baseball. In other words, you got a pitcher in there and he's messing up, you got to take him out early. Don't wait until it's too late or wait until the seventh inning. You got to go ahead on and make changes when you need to
pay. If they would have done that last night, they would have gone and gotten Patrick Corbin and they'd have been running through their bullpen. They let Corbin settle in just like they let Max settle in, finished three strong outings, innings against the Brewers in that outing. Corbin last night, the last five innings he threw, gave up no earned runs. Thanks,
okay.
Walter.
Good talk. See you out there.
I wanted you to say something. Joe, South Riding, how are you?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I agree with most of what you said, and totally, you can't put Parra in to start after what we saw the last month of the season, but I think at the meeting, you can't take him out of the lineup, but you got to move him down just to spark the top of that lineup, setting up Rendon, because it's just looking at the way Eaton's been approaching those at-bats. He's not – he's just looked lost.
So who are you moving up? Are you going like Rendon?
I'm putting Howie in the two spot, right?
I mean,
Howie's been the most
– okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. I mean, I wouldn't do it, and here's why. You lost one game. You had literally won the nine games before this one.
Mm-hmm.
We are dramatically overreacting to one game right now, whether we want to admit that or not. That's exactly what we're doing.
Sure.
Now, it's two games of not hitting a whole lot, clearly, but they've won nine straight and 12 of 16 and 10 of 13. I mean, they have rolled down the stretch. They've won one of the two playoff games they played, and because they didn't hit last night, we're going, well, that thing you've done all year with Eaton, who's been really good in the two-hole, let's move him out of there and let's move Kendrick up. I don't hate that because Kendrick is probably your third-best hitter this season, and you're just moving him up in the order. I'm fine with that, but I generally think the less moves you make – how many Nats did we talk to, and what they said about this key to the season, the key to the turnaround
no
was...
No panic, steady.
We never felt like Davey was panicking. We never looked at the lineup and said, oh, man, he's starting to feel pressure. We never walked in, and he never told us to stop playing cards or stop playing the music or had new rules. So we just always assumed everything was fine. They walk in today, and Eaton's hitting sixth,
seventh,
and Robles is out of the lineup for Parra, and they're doing all kinds of weird stuff. I do think you start to go, geez, that's... that's a lot for one loss, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Dodgers can do that because they do it all the time.
Right.
Like, that's their lifestyle.
That's
is they have a righty and a lefty lineup. And this, you know, if we're specializing. So, there's no bruised ego there. But if you
another
do,
day for them.
If you do it today where you flip-flop Adam Eaton, it's like, Adam, you are being punished because of your bad swings yesterday or this week. It just some of that inflexibility,
by
you
the
know,
way,
it may lend itself to
when
not
when they loaded
changing.
The bases, when Cabrera had that terrible at-bat,
uh-huh.
Eaton drew a really good walk.
Yes, he
no?
did.
I mean, it wasn't like he was a disaster last night. I'm not saying he was good. Nobody was. But he was one of the few guys that got on base last night and a good walk. Wayne and Bowie, how are you?
Pretty on, Wayne.
Hey, guys. Thank you for letting me on. I totally disagree with some of the things you say.
Go.
And the reason being, one, Victor Robles is a rookie. Last year under Dusty Baker, Michael A. Taylor shined. People seem to forget about that. Michael A. Taylor has had experience playing in the playoffs. Victor Robles has not. Yes, he's fast. He's got a good glove. But you're seeing a different Victor Robles that has deer in the headlights. My second change I'll make, I definitely put Zim.
So you're playing Taylor in center field over Robles?
Yes, I will, because of his experience.
Well, Soto's got less experience than Robles in the playoffs. So who are we putting in left?
Who won the game, the elimination game? Was it Robles or Soto?
Oh, Soto.
Thank you.
All right.
So you don't replace, you're not listening to me. You don't replace Soto, but what has Victor Robles done in the first game? Nothing.
No, and you know what
winning.
I think we got to do, Wayne?
Can I finish? You keep cutting
Here's
me
what
off.
We got to do.
Can I?
Here's what
can
we
got to
do, Wayne. Okay, you're done. Thank you. Wayne, what we got to do is we got to make a lot of decisions about the team that we've watched for 6 months based on 2 hours of baseball. Let's do as much of that as possible. I think that's a really good idea.
Now, if we want to talk about experiences, Michael A. Taylor experienced Fresno an awful lot this year.
He did.
Now, he also was amazing in that Cubs series. The only guy that hit over 211 in the Cubs series a couple years ago. If you want to make a case that, hey, he's actually got some decent numbers against Kershaw, whereas Robles doesn't, and I'm going to make that move that way, I would probably disagree, but that's a more reasonable case necessarily than just to say, well, I've decided the moment is too big for Victor Robles. That's probably too much.
I think there are reasonable suggestions about this lineup. Things that, you know, it's 50% or it's 6-1, a half dozen in the other, something like that, right? If you want to say Ryan Zimmerman at first and Kendrick at second and Noah's Drubal Cabrera, particularly with Zimmerman's career numbers against Kershaw, I personally think I love that. But even if you don't like that, you could say that's not a panic move. It's just another really good guy who, oh, by the way, makes $16 million being put into your lineup.
Yeah, it's a good matchup thing.
You're talking about taking Victor Robles out, who is an everyday player and has been an everyday player all year long for Michael Taylor, who was in the minors and has started like three times in the last 3 months. That's not a thing. When you're talking about sitting, someone else said, sit Victor Robles for Gerardo Parra, who is a bench bat, who has hit about 100 since June. That is not a thing. So there are things you might want to do. There are things you probably shouldn't do. Appreciate the phone call, Wayne. Appreciate the calls. We will keep them coming. 800-636-1067. Also got to rank our top five games of the NFL weekend next. Nora Princiotti covers the Patriots. She's with us to scout the opponent at 1. We've got a Nats stock report and Dave Jagler of our Nats broadcasts all coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Nora Princiotti used to work here in town. She now covers the Patriots in New England. She'll be our Patriots insider as we scout the opponent. A Friday staple on a Football Friday on Grant and Danny coming up at 1 o'clock. Let's rank our top five NFL games of the weekend, Danny. Start it off. Let's go 1-5. Let's mix it up a little bit.
1-5. I got to reverse my order here.
The number one game on the NFL slate for you this weekend is what?
The Green Bay Packers traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys field goal on a hook. Favorites at home. Marquee matchup. Two teams in the NFC that are sort of reborn, right? They're 2.0 versions of what they've been in the past. Green Bay with an updated defense that through 3 weeks was excellent. Got gashed this past week against Philadelphia via the run game. Jordan Howard is still running through the secondary. And Dallas, a group that learned how to use the forward pass and modern technology and the ability to move chunk yards through what's called the air.
They used to. They didn't this past week.
And then again, they didn't this past week against New Orleans.
This is what I love about this game is you had 3 weeks at 3-0 where Green Bay and Dallas looked like they'd fixed all their problems. And then in their fourth games, both of them reverted to some of the issues that had been major dilemmas coming into the year. And you're going to find out one of these teams is going to have two straight losses and probably two straight games where they look like they're old versions of themselves. I love that about this matchup. It's also my number one game. It's a 4:25 kickoff. I'm assuming this is your Joe Buck, Troy Aikman special, national TV from Dallas in the 4 o'clock window in the NFC. Your number one game of the weekend. My matchup that I like here is just Rodgers against that Dallas back seven.
I want to see it.
Those linebackers who move, taking things away in the middle of the field, desperately trying to jump into throwing lanes. Matt LaFleur's passing game and offense has not been as good early this season as you'd think with Rodgers at controls. My number two game of the week, we could start to go in separate directions here, but I really like Cleveland-San Francisco on Monday night.
It's my number two as well.
Browns at 49ers. If Cleveland wins this game, they are over 500 despite a really difficult schedule so far. If they win this game, they're 3-2, having played the Rams, Ravens, and 49ers in the last 3 weeks, and they will have gone 2-1 in that stretch with a one-possession loss to Los Angeles. Now, they could very well lose, but if that happens, let me flip to the other side of this, maybe San Francisco is actually a thing.
This is is San Francisco the truth game?
Maybe the 49ers are good. Right now, I give them no credit. I probably should. They beat the Bucs by 2 touchdowns. Tampa Bay has beaten the Rams in the last week. They beat the Bengals by 24 points. I don't care who you beat by 24 in this league. When you do that, that's a signature put it in the book win. They barely beat the Steelers with Mason Rudolph. The Steelers did win their only game they've played since with Rudolph, but you turn the ball over 5 times, you still won. I give you credit. But 24-20 on a day where Pittsburgh was starting a guy that had never played before on the road, I would have liked some style points in that W. So this is a fun game because one of these two teams is probably going to be the sexy sleeper team that everyone predicted coming to fruition after this week.
So I've got that as my number two game as well for all the reasons that you stated. Number three game of the week for your pal. The Minnesota organization traveling to see the New York Football Giants and Danny Dimes. Minnesota favored by 4.5, 5 in some books this weekend. This is, again, Minnesota started off great. Defense is excellent. The run of the football, Dalvin Cook's going to lead the universe in rushing. Now, all of a sudden, they've lost a couple games, haven't looked particularly good. The offense is anemic. They can't throw the ball. Mike Zimmer's mad at Adam Thielen, who's mad at Kirk Cousins, who's not as mad at Adam Thielen. I don't know. Their passing game stinks, and Stephon Diggs wants to be traded, it sounds like. And he's like, I'm not asking to be traded. Awkward.
Do wide receivers want to play in places where they run it 100 times and throw it 6?
Not especially.
No,
especially if you're the second option out of there. And he's excellent.
Luck.
He should go somewhere else. He has a similar cap hit to somebody here that's not playing in Washington. Let's play guess who it is. Anyway, you look at the New York Giants.
Oh, my God. I would love that trade.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I mean, the Vikings want nothing to do with that.
Nor should they.
But if he really became a malcontent diva and legit started throwing his weight around saying, get me out of here and, like, stop showing up, that would be my dream, is that the Redskins traded Trent Williams for Diggs and you throw a couple picks into that.
Almost a dollar, like, for dollar cap.
I'll give you a 4, you give me a 2, and let's make this work. Done.
And the Giants started off terrible, and they've lost Saquon Barkley, and yet now they've won a couple straight games because, frankly, Daniel Jones is better than we thought he was going to be, than a lot of people thought he was going to be. Not people inside football, by the way. They liked him a lot more than the people with the crunch numbers. So who's for real? Let's see what the Giants do against a really good defense. This will be the best defense they've played, especially with Jones. He faced Tampa Bay, who's terrible, and the Redskins, who are pretty terrible. Now Minnesota comes to town. Can you sling it around against them?
So that's actually my number four game. My number three game, and I know this sounds funny when I say it, but I think it's going to be actually pretty close. I like Ravens-Steelers a lot.
It's my number four game.
Is it? So we're just flipping those? I mean, Pittsburgh's 1-3, and they're not particularly good. Baltimore may beat them, even on the road, something like 27-10, 27-13. But I'm not sure about that. As you know, I've been skeptical of the Ravens since before the season started. After 2 games, everyone was taking their victory laps about Lamar Jackson. And he looked amazing, and they should have. I hope that lap was worthwhile, and I hope you put the window down and you enjoyed the breeze. It was a really, really fun couple of weeks. He has not looked the same. They have not looked the same over the last couple of games. And the big story in their last game was not even their offense. It was that their defense got destroyed, shredded by Cleveland.
Yep.
That's supposed to be a really good defense. If they're going to get where they want to go, playoffs, win a playoff game, AFC contenders. You cannot get gashed on the ground like they did from Nick Chubb and the Browns. The Steelers, pretty gimmicky with a lot of those tap passes and motion and jet sweeps.
But it's smart to kind of account
redesign
for
their offense
what
last
they've
week.
Got, yeah.
I think they'll present some problems. Also, I just love how physical and kind of grind it out these games are between these two teams. And even without Roethlisberger, I think it'll be fun. So that's my number three game. I've got Vikings-Giants number four.
So let me touch on that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. One more note. Pittsburgh's forced 7 turnovers over the last couple weeks. I believe they had 8 sacks against Cincinnati. They probably won't get 8 against Baltimore, but they're harassing passers right now.
That has a lot to do with the Bengals.
It has a lot to do with it.
They picked up Minkah Fitzpatrick. Their defense is actually, you're right, it's gotten a lot better.
All of a sudden, it's okay, right? They got drubbed by the Patriots, lost a close one to Seattle, and everyone's going, oh my God, they stink. Their offense was terrible against the 49ers. They forced 5 turnovers. San Francisco couldn't manage a loud clap, and they ended up losing that game because of how bad Mason Rudolph and company was. This is Pittsburgh 2.0. They're going to find a way to compete. I'm interested in that game.
My number five game is the Chiefs hosting the Colts.
I thought about that. It's just missing for me.
I think the spread, has it moved? I think it's around 7.
It's bigger than that.
Is it?
Yeah.
7 and a hook?
It is a little larger than that. It's 11.
No.
11. Okay. Started at 8.5, and now it's 11.
Well, good. I think it should have been probably bigger. When I saw it at 7.5, I'm thinking, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But the Colts on the road, Kansas City, Chiefs are 4-0. Here's why I put this game in here as number 5. I didn't like the way the Chiefs looked against the Lions at all, and they won. So you give them a lot of credit. They steal a game that's probably a loss in some seasons. But if you play down back-to-back weeks, I'm trying to figure out, are you New England or are you everybody else? Are you one of the 2 or 3 best teams in football and you got a chance to win the Super Bowl? Or are you just going to be 12-4 and kind of like the other good clubs? If they play down and barely beat the Colts or lose to Indianapolis, it'll be a 2-week trend for them. So I got my eyes on that one.
My number 5 game was almost that one, but here's the one I picked instead. New Orleans-Tampa Bay. New Orleans finding a way to be frisky with Teddy Bridgewater, handing it off, gimmicks to Kamara, the occasional dump off, with a scramble to Thomas, but playing good defense. Tampa Bay all of a sudden has found something after starting terribly. They got themselves right. They went on the road, I believe, and won that game at the Rams, putting up 55 points. They've scored 86 points over their last 2 games. The Bruce Arians offense that I bought in on and that a lot of people said, this will be a fun investment for fantasy, just pick some Buccaneers in the middle rounds, is starting to come to fruition. Fascinated to see what they do in the Dome. Dome.
Those are our 5 favorite games of the NFL weekend. Pretty similar. By the way, one other thing on that Colts-Chiefs game. I love the way Jacoby Brissett has played.
Me too.
Not an easy situation. He came in right before the preseason when he first got to play when Luck was hurt and played okay. Then Luck came back and was great last year. I mean, he's just a better player than Brissett, obviously. But I thought that they would be just done when Luck retired. Like, that's a 5-11 team now. And they're not that. He's been too good for them to lose 11 games, frankly. We're giving away an NBA 2K prize right now to the 10th caller. So here's the deal. 800-636-1067. Call in now. Be the 10th caller. You'll win a copy of NBA 2K20. You can be the next NBA superstar on the best NBA video game ever. NBA 2K20 is out now. Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC, and coming soon to Stadia. Rated E for everyone, courtesy of Got Game. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Next hour kicks off the big one at 1. Nora Princiotti has your Patriots Skins preview from New England. Dave Jagger on the Nats and the Dodgers at 1:30 on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.